Did you know that on the night Jesus was betrayed in the upper room, just really a few hours before he would be crucified, he said to his apostles, the last part of this song, "If you love one another, all people will know you are my disciples if you never miss church." Nope. "If you always take communion." Nope. "If you always read the Bible every day." All of that's important, but that's not what Jesus said. "By this, all people," those that can't read, those that won't read, "all people will know you are my disciples if you love one another." I'm going to read from God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 to 24 in the New Living Translation. Listen to God. "Christ never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Christ personally carried our sins inside his body on the cross, so that we would quit sinning and live doing what is right. By his wounds, we have been healed." Folks, it was a terrible day for Jesus, but it was a terrific day for us. You see, out of jealousy and hatred, the religious leaders of Jesus' day had Jesus arrested because he challenged their traditions, and the religious leaders convicted Jesus and turned him over to the governor of the land, Pilate. Those leaders wanted Pilate to kill Jesus for them. Now, at first, Pilate refused to do that, but he had Jesus flogged. Now, flogging had several different leather strips on the end of a big board, and at the end of every strip was razor-sharpened metals and glass and rocks, and every hit tore skin off. Psalm 22 reports that Jesus took so many hits that his ribs were exposed and his bones could be counted. But folks, that was done on Friday. Sunday's coming. Now Pilate really thought that torturing Jesus would satisfy those religious leaders, but it did not. So Pilate asked the fatal question, "Well, what do you want me to do with this Jesus?" And those religious leaders had motivated the people to yell, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Pilate turned Jesus over to the Roman soldiers. Now hold on just a bit about those religious leaders. Aren't there many times today that you and I can run hot and cold and even lukewarm about Jesus? Those soldiers played our kind of Halloween games with Jesus. They dressed him up with a robe colored purple like a king wears. And they made a crown like kings have a crown, but theirs was made out of very sharp thorns. And they pushed it down hard on his head. and with blood flowing into his eyes and down his cheeks. They made fun of him. They bowed down and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They hit him on the head time and time and time again. They kept spitting on him. Slapped him on the face. And then they led him away to crucify him. Let's go to that hill. On the hill, three crosses were laying flat on the ground, two of them for murderous and dangerous criminals, one in the middle for Jesus. As did other criminals who were crucified, these two would have certainly tried to get away and fight the soldiers, but the soldiers held on to them, and they had to be tied down on the cross before being nailed. And as others criminals would have done, they yelled out every kind of cuss word known to man in those days. They cussed out the courts. They cussed out Caesar. They cussed out Pilate. They cussed out those people who were there to look on and watch it. But the captain of the guard must have thought as he approached Jesus, "You know, I've never crucified anyone like this one. He just voluntarily lay down on the cross and put his arms out across the boards. He yelled nothing. He did not curse me as I was coming toward him. No need to tie this one down." You see, Jesus had said, "No one takes my life. I give it." Jesus probably smiled at that soldier who came with the mallet and with the nails. Probably said to him, "Bless you, sir. I know that you're just doing what you were commanded to do." And then that person put the nail. And then to the other side. You know, I used to teach students in the seminary that Jesus, when he asked three times, "Let this cup pass from me," had nothing to do with physical pain. I used to teach them that until I had my first open heart surgery. And when I woke up with severe pain, I literally, silently said to God and to Jesus, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I thought physical pain was not a concern to you." Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was. After they nailed the arms through the hands, they usually didn't nail the feet right away, so as they raised the cross, the body would swing back and forth, and that would add to the pain. And then all of a sudden, they would carry the cross to a 5-foot hole and boom! Dump it in. Aha! Psalm tells us that all his bones were torn out of their sockets when that happened. You see, folks, we've never seen an accurate picture of the crucifixion of Jesus. You know why? Because those that were crucified in the nude, and that just added to the embarrassment and the shame. Oh, those onlookers. Some Jesus had healed, given sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, life to their loved ones. Now hold it just a second. Isn't it easy for us to forget how much God does for us when troubles come and disappointments hit us? Oh yes, those people who had been accustomed to being helped by Jesus, the friend of the sinners, the only friend they had except for other sinners, those same people made fun of Jesus. Ha ha! Come down from the cross if you're such a big shot. You claim to save others, you can't even save yourself. What a fake! Folks, they gave Jesus the middle finger. But Jesus gave them his love, his life, his forgiveness. With pain, Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then he gave up the spirit and died. And that's not all. Not only was Jesus hurting, so was all of nature. The sun refused to shine. It became as dark as midnight, and a severe earthquake hit, and rocks were split, and graves and tombs were opened. All of nature on earth and all of heaven cried and wept. Why? Why did this happen? Folks, what really happened on that cross? 1 Peter said it. He bore our sins inside his body. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, he who never sinned once became sin. Body full of sin. Isaiah 53 described it this way. He was crucified for our sins. Upon him was the punishment that brought us peace. Punishment? That means he took our place in hell to give us a place in heaven. Isaiah 53 added this, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord laid on Jesus the sins of us all. Did you catch it? All. No one left out. Everyone included, the sins put into Jesus. All the sins of Hitler, of serial killers, of drug lords and dealers, of those who slipped into those little girls' bedrooms at night, carried them off, raped them, and kidnapped them. Those sins inside of Jesus. All of mine. All of yours. And that's not all. Isaiah 53 verse 10 tells us that Jesus, listen, Jesus took the guilt for those sins as his own guilt. Not easy for Jewish Messiah to take the guilt of killing 6 million Jews by Hitler's actions. Oh, no. Let's not forget one of the most memorized scriptures in the Bible. Romans 6, verse 23. The wages, that's something we deserve, the wages of sin is death. That's separation from God. But the free gift, that's something we don't deserve. Did you catch it? It's free. The free gift. Oh, it's free, but folks, it was very costly. It cost Jesus his son. It cost Jesus his innocence. It cost Jesus staying out of hell. Oh, yes. That was very, very costly. Our sins, but the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, life that never ends, never, ever ends. All of our sins were nailed to that cross, regardless of what we've done, and how many times we've done it. So here comes the question. Will you receive it or reject it? That's a question for everybody. It's a true story. The 13-year-old daughter ran away from home and went to the large city and went to the area that's known for drugs and prostitution and homelessness and every kind of alcohol, and she'd been gone for 4 years. The mother knew the area of the city where she had gone, how terrible it was, and the mother decided to do something. She went to a photographer and had a picture of her taken and had it blown up big and took it to that part of the city where she knew her daughter had been. And she posted that picture everywhere she could find a place that would let her do it, on door fronts, on windows, particularly in the bars. She even went into bathroom stalls and posted a picture. And then the mother left. Eventually, the daughter, now 17 years old, saw her mom's picture, took it down, and as she was walking off, she turned it over, and there was a note. And the note said, "Nancy, whatever you have done, it doesn't matter. I love you. Please come home, Mom." And with tears down her cheek, she folded that picture. And she came home. And from the cross, the Father and the Son and the Spirit is saying, "Whatever you have done, regardless of how bad it is, and how often you have done it, it doesn't matter. On this cross, I love you. Please. Come home. Oh, we sing about it. The old rugged cross, number 504. Let's sing about it this morning.